Thanks, Sam.
Love you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mary. I'm an addict.
Hi, Mary.
So, I guess the original speaker didn't show up, so Jason grabbed me and threw me in here, so I will be keeping it extremely simple today. I brought one of my friends with me today. I met her when I was 16 years old. That's Talon, everybody. She's here for support. So she's seen me through the good, bad, and the ugly, as I am telling everybody. That was 25 years ago when we met, so she has seen a lot of shit. And she, you know, she asked me when we were looking at this thing last night, trying to figure out where we were going to go or what we were going to do. She's like, well, what is it about? What's this meeting? Because I said, we're going to go to Keep It Simple, Stupid. I want to hear about that. She's like, well, what's it going to be about? And I'm like, well, you know, keeping it simple. What's that mean? And I'm like, well, just don't pick up. Keep it simple, you know? And that's like how I explained it to her. But, I mean, obviously it means so much more than that. You know, to me, what it means is, you know, you're working the steps. I'm not going to just show up at a meeting and expect to stay clean, right? I do see that happen a lot. Like, people will show up and just hang around and think going to meetings will keep them clean. But that's not at all the program. That's just showing up at meetings, dude. Like, it doesn't fucking work, you know? Since I came to Narcotics Anonymous 11 years ago, I've been working the steps. So I have not felt the need to pick up and use, you know? But like I said, I have seen others pick up, and I believe it's because that they were not working on their step work. I don't know for sure, but I feel when I do go like a month or so without touching my step work, I start to feel very uncomfortable in my own skin. And I start to feel my own defects coming out. Like, or I feel like nasty towards other people, you know, like, or copping resentments, typically towards my husband, you know, just because he's an easy target. He's always there, you know. Relationships are very hard, especially when you live with a person, you know. Like I said, they're always there. And I'm always having to compromise, which is something that I have not always been good at, you know. Like, I want it my way or I'm out of here. Which was my life, always. I was, like, always so ready to just ditch the situation, the relationship, whatever I was doing, and say, see ya, peace out, like, I'm on to the next one. And today I'm just not willing to do that. You know, I want to be dependable, and I want to be loyal, and, like, I want to be good. I want to be the kind of person that people want to be around, you know? So, I mean, that's what I'm doing. I don't know why I just went on that. That has nothing to do with keeping it simple. But, I mean, I guess in a way it does, you know? Like, I decided what I wanted to be. When I came into these rooms, I looked around and I found the people who were what I wanted to be. And so I just started copying them, you know? And not being a poser, you know? I want to be a better person, you know? So I found the good people and I started doing what they were doing. And it started working, you know. And every now and then someone will just be like, well, why don't you just, you know, say this or that? And it's like sort of suggesting that I'm dishonest in a way. And I'm like, no, I don't like lying, you know. It takes me down a bad road, because once I start lying, then I'm going to start lying about everything, you know. So I can't even do a little bit, even with just that, even with just lying. Like, that'll become a drug to me, where I'll just start lying about everything. So I do. I have to keep it extremely simple and be a bit of a square, you know? So like I said, when I came around, I would just drop people real easy if they didn't do things my way. I was a liar, you know? And now, you know, I've been married to my husband for, it'll be 9 years in December, you know? I don't cheat, which, you know, kind of used to be a thing I did back when I was using, but I don't do that. You know, I don't give him any reason to think I would either. I don't like to flirt with other dudes, you know. I am very friendly with everyone, though. Like, men, women, everyone. But not in a sexy way. You know, not like it used to be. Because it used to be sexy. all the time. Or at least I thought it was sexy. From the outside looking in, it might not have been as sexy as I thought it was. I don't know. Tawn, was it sexy? Okay, I don't know. I don't know how to bring her in. I thought it was pretty sexy. But, so yeah, I'm not trying to, I don't know, seduce my way into anything or to make it weird and awkward, to make him feel uncomfortable through any of that. I don't want to play games, you know? And I'm a Girl Scout troop leader. So that's a big difference. I'm like a role model to these young ladies, you know? I mean, I gave up, like, everything that I thought was who I am. It was using, drinking, smoking, sleeping around. These things were like my personality, basically. I was a party girl. That was who I was. And without those things, I found out who I really was. It was just this loving person who, in fact, I used to say, I don't like children. Now that the children have left, I can say it. I hate kids, I said. You know, I don't ever want kids. You know, even though I spoiled my niece and nephews, I said I hated all the other kids. You know, I'm never going to have kids because I can't stand kids. Now I have 3 kids, you know, plus I have a home daycare, so I'm taking care of kids all day. And yeah, and in my free time, I volunteer my time to the Girl Scouts. So all my life is kids, you know. They're the purest little souls. And I mean, they're like the epitome of keeping it simple. You know, they're simple little minds that, you know, like once they start getting a little bit older is when they start like they're a little defiant, you know. Right around I noticed like one of my 5-year-olds that I watch. He's starting to get a little bit crazy. Like he encourages one of the other kids to mess with the other kid. Like he's starting shit, you know? It's just like this thing. I'm like, oh man, he is gonna be a little shit. Like he's turning into a little shit right before my eyes. And so like as soon as I see him whispering to someone, I'm like, hey, you stop it. And he says, sorry. And I mean it's cute, but it's like I can see him. He's gonna have some troubles far on. He just like he craves the drama. You know, and I'm like, okay, dude. He has strong family, loving family. He's always going to have me because even though he just went to kindergarten, like I'm keeping in touch with his mom, you know, like he's like one of my own now. He's with me for 2 years, you know. I love these kids. So yeah, through the building of these relationships where I'm not like, this sucks, I don't like it, you know, I have strong relationships with a lot of people. Like I've had my one friend for 25 years, you know. A lot of the people in my Wii today are people that I met as soon as I came into the rooms. You know, like I came in 11 years ago and I'm still friends with all the same people, you know. I mean, a few new people came in and I'm friends with them too, you know. I mean, I don't go out a lot. I am not a socialite. Like I said, I have 3 kids. And I do the volunteer thing, so I'm really tired, you know, and working with all those kids, it makes me really tired. So I don't want to go out and do stuff. I'm just exhausted all the time. Plus I can't have caffeine anymore, so that I don't have any help at all, you know, in that department. So yeah, there's somebody cracking open an energy drink. I know, he's like, thank God I've got this caffeine, because I'm not tired. And yeah, I miss it, dude, but it's like everything else I've had to give up. You know, like, I didn't want to give it up, but it was causing me a lot of pain, like, for health reasons, you know. I was having health issues because of a condition that I have, you know, because of the caffeine, and I don't think without NA, I could have given that up too. So like I gave up cigarettes and caffeine and sugar and all the things that are good in life that I thought were good in life, you know. I just found substitutes, you know, like I can still eat honey, you know, and I got peppermint tea. I mean, and it's not like the same, but it's pretty fucking good. And I'm not in constant pain anymore, you know, like it is exactly this dietary thing that I got going on is exactly like addiction. You know, I give that up, I'm not in constant pain. You know, it's just like the drugs. So I think it's so funny when people are like, oh, I can't believe you can do that. And it's like, it's just like what we're all doing here. It's like what every single one of us is doing right now. We gave up the thing that was causing us so much pain in our lives, you know, and it's making our lives ultimately so much better. I mean, sure, people aren't eating cheesecake right in front of you at a restaurant, you know, or smoking crack right in front of you at a restaurant. Sorry. They are eating cheesecake right in front of you at a restaurant. But, so, yeah, I have a sponsor. Like, I don't talk to her as much as I probably should, because I'm tired all the time. I'm busy. Like, life is so busy. I do struggle with keeping it simple, and I'm sure we all do, because there's, life is so busy, and I know that a lot of people have this issue, because I'll be, like, trying to make plans with somebody, and we have to make plans, like, 2 and 3 weeks out, because something's going on every single day of the week. Like, how are you supposed to have a social life anymore when you got so much to do, you know, so many responsibilities? Or at least that's my case, you know. And so to me, this retreat is such a blessing, and I've been coming for so many years, that this is one of my ways to just sit back and relax and let go. Like, I can come out here and people aren't on their phone all weekend, you know. Nobody around here is staring at their phone, like, out there, you know. Like, you go into a meeting and people are, they're looking at their phone. It's disappointing to see, but that's what's happening. But nobody does that out here. We can all forget about the outside world and just focus on our recovery and getting better, you know. And like I said, like, the only way to do it is through working the steps. Like, that, every time I hear keep it simple, all I think about is working steps. I mean, that's all there is to it. You know, you come here, you come to a meeting, you find a sponsor, you start working steps. You know, it's great to come to the meetings and hear other people's ideas on the things, but I don't get involved in the drama bullshit. You know, sometimes it's tempting. Like, if I feel like someone's been wronged, I feel tempted to take sides. But the best thing I can do is offer support to somebody in need. You know, like, do you need my help? If they say yes, I give them help. That's very easy. You know, I can offer the other person on the other side help too. Do you need my help? Okay, you're not interested? Sounds good. Also, I don't take that personally either. You know, because if I'm taking it personally every time someone doesn't want to hang out with me, then I'm going to be really fucking sad all the time. And the fact is, I'm not for everybody. You know, you're not for everybody. Like, some people are just too busy to hang out. Some people have their own shit going on. Some people are so all up in their own heads because they've got their own mental illness that they can't fathom spending time with another person. Like, that's real. Anxiety, you know, social anxiety. Like, they can only hang out with people under a certain set of circumstances, you know? Like, there is always something going on. For me, it's usually busy as hell, you know? Like, but I try my very best to make it to an out-of-town meeting, you know? Like, that's one of the ways that I just try to remember, you know, at least go to my home group every week, you know? I don't like to take my kids because that complicates things. That's not keeping it simple. The kids are distracting me, you know. I love them very much, but I need to focus on me, you know. If I'm not focusing on me, then they're not getting their best mom. And I tried to explain that to my 7-year-old when I left. She's like, I don't like it. When you leave, it makes me feel like you wish you never had us. Oh, yes. She is starting with the manipulation. And I'm like, sweetie, I am so happy I had you. But mommy needs time. If I spend time by myself, I can be the best mommy I can be for you. And it's a good thing for me to go away. But not that it wasn't completely heartbreaking, and I almost cried a little just telling you about it just now. But, I mean, they do that. You know, they don't even want me to go to the gym or to my meeting. You know, they expect me to be with them every second of the day. And when I wasn't there for the first day of school after they got off the bus, you know, my 3-year-old was really bummed about it. I mean, they just want me all the time. And it's so sweet, you know. But being needed all the time is not always awesome. You know? Sometimes you just need to get away. And for parents, I know you get it. It's like, oh my God, please just forget I exist for 2 seconds. You know, like this is what I have to do. I have to run away, you know. Like I ran away. I went to, like, a few months back, I went away with some girls. Like, just every now and then I gotta go away. I just gotta be me for a minute, you know? Like, all day, all the time, I'm taking care of somebody else. You know, sometimes it's just gotta be me. And like, we all need to do that. You know, I know that everybody struggles with self-care. You know, it is so hard to just remember that if I'm not taking care of me, then I'm not taking care of everybody, you know? And again, back to the steps. The steps are self-care, you know? And it's real hard at first. Like, the first time I went through the steps, it was awful, you know? But then the next time I went through, it didn't hurt so much, you know? I'm going my second time around, and I'm on step 9, and it's not so bad. Like, I don't have as many amends to make, you know, and the amends that I do have to make, I'm not scared of anymore. I'm just not afraid. I'm very used to being uncomfortable. Like, last year when I came out here, I was late, you know, because life, and there was no room in any of the cabins where my friends were staying. So I ended up staying in a cabin with like 15 women from Erie that I had never met, you know, and that was very uncomfortable and awkward, but I just went for it. I'm like, I'm just going to throw myself in and see, you know, I mean, they're just like me. They're just women in recovery trying to get it. So I just went in there and I was like, hey guys, there's a free bed. They put me in here. How you doing? And they, you know, some of them looked at me like, what the fuck? You know, what's she doing in here? Yes, I'm a stranger and I'm in the cabin with you, but this is how it is. You know, we're here together. And by the end of the weekend, I felt like I was friends with a lot of these ladies. Like, we had a really good weekend, you know? I mean, things are very uncomfortable when they're new. They always are. And now I am also staying with some strangers again. You know, this is my new thing. You know, I'm just, well, it's not that new. But, you know, in the past few years, when something's really uncomfortable, I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to procrastinate anymore. I'm just going to do the uncomfortable thing, you know? Because this uncomfortable thing makes me better. You know, hanging out with strangers, talking with new people makes me a better person, you know? Because I have struggled with social anxiety. And people are always like, I can't even see that, you struggling with social anxiety. It's like, because I just keep it simple, get the fuck over myself and talk to a person. You know, like, that person probably is as anxious as I am. That person is afraid of me. It's just like a spider. They're more afraid of me than I am of them. Or a snake, you know. I'm a nature girl. So I like to spend more time with animals and trees than people. But people are part of nature, technically, you know. So I'll just treat them like they're nature, you know. These people are as afraid of me as I am of them. So I'm just going to talk to them and, you know, see what happens. Worst case scenario is they think I'm a weirdo, but I am a fucking weirdo. So who cares? They know. They figured it out. They figured me out right away, you know? But they're probably weirdos too because they're in NA. You know, if you're in NA, chances are you're a weirdo. And if you're in NA and you're not a weirdo, then you might be in the wrong place. That's all I'm saying. I don't know what you're doing here. You're not a weirdo. But, so yeah, like for me, keep it simple. Like, if it's, we're going completely simple, just work the fucking steps. Work the steps or die, motherfucker, as Chuck would say. And that is all from me. I'm going to let the next guy talk now.
Our next speaker is Brett from Spiritual Awakenings in Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you. I remember. Yes.
All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm an act named Brett.
Hey, Brett.
Stretch a little bit. Me, on the other hand, I've only had caffeine and nicotine to try to wake up this morning, so a little shaky, but I'll do my best here. And the topic, Keep It Simple, Stupid, it's a good one for me because I think I'm a pretty smart guy, you know. You know, through some step work on the 6th and 7th, I've identified, you know, a lot of things that drove me probably to use in the first place and to keep using were, you know, intellectualizing everything, overthinking, even to this day, you know, that rat or mouse on the wheel is always turning. And also perfectionism. I always thought I had to be the perfect fucking kid in every way. And if I wasn't perfect, then I failed. And, you know, I remember growing up, I was in like the high academic classes. I was like the quarterback on the football team. And, you know, a lot of the girls liked me, but like I was so insecure on the inside. I felt, you know, like a fraud, like I'd never be good enough if they really found out. There was active addiction in my home, and, you know, my parents didn't really keep like a nice house, and, you know, so I was afraid to have people come to my house. So I felt like I was always like had this second face or facade that I had to keep up, and I put a lot of energy and stress and anxiety on myself, always kind of putting up this face. But you know, around like 12, I remember using for the first time, and I remember that inner anxiety or dialogue, you know, maybe not completely going away, but tamping down a little bit. And, you know, and then eventually I tried opiates, which was the drug of my choice, and that voice went completely off. And I'd say from that moment on, I said, all right, I figured out, you know, the secret to life. Now I just have to figure out how to do this every single fucking day to turn that voice off and feel better, and then I'm gonna have a successful life. The problem is, you know, I'm like a teenage kid during this time, and I don't have a job, and the only money I have I'm stealing out of like my parents' purse or dresser, and there's never enough, right? There's never enough. And you know, there's tolerance, and, you know, I did like that feeling, and I probably would still today, but I don't like what I turn into, and I don't like to have to steal off people I love and, you know, do whatever it takes to get the next one. And, you know, the problem with that, that inner dialogue, you know, I really started adding guilt and shame to that inner dialogue too. So not only am I trying to be perfect and overthink everything, now I feel like shit everywhere I go. And it takes more and more to turn those demons off. So through, you know, high school, I'm like the druggie in the high academic classes. And I'm doing my homework at the lunch table, sitting with all, you know, my friends who are primarily just concerned with using. And I'm trying to make my girlfriend's moms like me. I was always real. The moms like me. But, you know, I started to die inside from using. And, you know, since I was using so young, my parents' story was very intertwined with my story of active addiction. You know, even though there was active addiction in my family, they somewhat managed to function. You know, by the end of high school, like, my brother and I are full-blown heroin addicts. And my mom found another program, Al-Anon, and shit started getting real difficult at that point. Because mom learned some things. I was telling a funny story, because I'm from Altoona, Pennsylvania, even though I'm in Baltimore now. But when my mom was trying to figure out how to fix her kids, somehow she got a hold of an NA meeting list. And she just, I guess, pointed a finger at the first thing she saw on a meeting list, and it was area service. So my mother, with no idea about Narcotics Anonymous, shows up to an area service meeting trying to figure out how to fix her kids. Only NA people would understand the absurdity of that. But she tried some other things. I remember her trying to cure me of addiction by taking me to an acupuncturist, you know. Like one session of a few needles and a poof. I remember, I mean, of course, I prayed. I tried that to some degree, but back to that intellectual trait, you know, I have a real struggle with things unseen, without pure evidence of, I can get real cynical about religious things, spiritual things. And, you know, when I was first introduced to this program, I was one of those people where that I didn't really trust anything that had too much God in it. So I think it took me a while to realize that there's more to it than that. It's not going to church. But I still struggle with that to this day. I'm not particularly religious. I'm like an engineer, scientist, need evidence-based shit, you know, to kind of embrace anything. But, you know, getting to keep it simple, stupid, I'd say the program is the one area in my life where I trust enough in it that if somebody says, try praying, you know, you don't have to pray to any specific deity, but go through the motions of doing that and see what it does for you. Trust in this program and see what happens, see what results you get. And, you know, I got good results by praying in my own way. You know, they say find a higher power or a belief system that works for you and try that out. You know, test it out. You can always change. And instead of being like, oh, that's some hokey bullshit, you know, because this is the only thing that worked for me and got me clean, I trusted and tried that and found something. I mean, for me, it is more the great outdoors or the good orderly direction version of God or, you know, the universal spirit in the universe. But I can still be part of the spiritual part of NA by participating in interaction with my higher power in that way. But, you know, stepping back into those earlier times when mom's trying to get me clean, you know, I did the counseling. I remember she tried to get me clean once on homeopathic medicine, like, you know. And that was her versions. My versions of trying to get me clean were, you know, taking benzodiazepine to get off of, you know, opioids. Or, you know, when I get the paycheck, I'm getting a little lockbox safe, and I'm only going to let myself in that safe at a certain time each day and take the half pill or whatever that I was saving up. And y'all know that works real good. Or, you know, doing essentially the same thing with the money. You know, my version of not keeping it simple and intellectualizing was, I'm going to try to figure out how to manage this thing because I can't, there's no way I can actually live without it. And yeah, there was, you know, that was my whole like teenage life was active addiction, finding ways and means to get more. And I did end up somehow getting through my first year of college, you know, as a heroin addict. And then I think that that summer afterwards, I actually went to my first like formal addiction kind of treatment thing under threat of being kicked out of my house. And at that outpatient program, there was a couple, I call them like old heads or old junkies, you know, like probably like the age I am now, but like early 40s, mid 40s, who, you know, were using all that time, but were actually getting clean. And that just kind of shocked me, because no one who used in my life up to that point had actually actually put it down. And I noticed that those couple guys were the ones who were always going to the meetings afterwards. So, you know, one of the days, we were supposed to go to the meetings afterwards, but not everybody did. So one of the days I was like, all right, I'll tag along with these guys. It was a little Red Door Church in Altoona, Tuesday night. And I couldn't believe it. The place was packed and, you know, a lot of people hugging, a lot of energy. I remember using it in the bathroom before the meeting. That does happen. That was before we had the readings to leave your jugs outside. So that's kind of a joke. Every time we read that, I'm like, really? Is somebody going to do that? But I saw something and discovered this like secret society that I didn't know existed. I mean, those of us are in there for a while kind of think everybody knows about this. And at least back then, it definitely, you know, I grew up in Altoona, you know, as a latchkey kid, like you said, and like walked the entire city and never knew these little secret meetings and church basements existed. But so, you know, I never really stopped during that introduction to the Narcotics Anonymous. I definitely didn't take the keep it simple direction that you talked about, but it still planted a seed, like, all right, maybe someday. And then, you know, I won't go through the nitty-gritty details, but, you know, more using another rehab, an inpatient rehab. And at that one, I learned, like, really what you're supposed to do, you know. And one of the things is definitely, like, do not go back home and hang out with all the people you were just using with if you want to stay clean. But, you know, I'm pretty smart, and I've been off shift for like 28 days, so I got this thing. I'm gonna go hang out at the spot, but I'm gonna tell everybody up front, like, I'm out of that part of hanging out now. But you know, 19 years old, and it's not like I'm gonna like ditch all my friends. So I was using like an hour into that out of rehab, and you know, my best thinking and how to stay clean. And then, you know, shortly after that, it got really ugly. I remember kind of like the end of my addiction was right around, you know, 9/11 and that tragedy. And, you know, the tragedy for me that day was everybody was so fucked up about 9/11 that, like, I couldn't find shit. And I was, like, terribly dope sick that day. And I don't know. I just bring that up by, like, I don't know. It's a miserable way to live. And, you know, at the end, my best thinking couldn't keep me in college. I had to drop out of college. I got the ultimatum from my mother and my brother at the same time, because he was my using partner, that you are out of the house on this day. It kills us to do this, but like, you're not killing yourself under my roof anymore. So I got kicked out of the house with a black trash bag on December 8th, 2001, and went into another facility. And that first one was nice, man. They had like a swimming pool and, you know, volleyball courts. And this other one smelled like feet and ass. It was like a retrofit of an old building that shouldn't have been a treatment facility. But it was exactly what I needed, because I was so beaten that I was done. And you all, you know, who have had that feeling of surrender, like, it's either almost suicide or stop using, because it hurts so much to exist in the state that you're in. But then that seed from that exposure to Narcotics Anonymous started growing. And, you know, I had just dropped out of college, so I was like, this is my college now. I'm going to learn everything about how to stay clean. And I'm going to just, like, not make the guide myself this time. I'm going to, you know, they have a guide. You know, they have this book, The Basic Text, The Step Working Guide. Millions of people have done this before me. So, like, I'm not going to come up with this new and exciting thing that's special for Brett. So, you know, they, that saying, like, push a pee uphill with your nose. I made real intention to follow all that stuff. And, you know, when you just get clean, it's intimidating. I remember looking at a lot of facilities have that, the 12 steps of AA and AA on the wall. And that 8 and 9 was like scary as hell, because I had so much guilt. And with me not fully understanding the program, I'm like, oh my God, like, next week do I have to like go tell my employer that I just stole thousands of dollars from him and pay him back? Or do I have to tell my grandmother I was the guy who burglarized her house like next week? When I'm raw from getting off dope. And, you know, but I learned that this is a process and not immediate, and I don't need to jump to this, you know, like, extreme interpretation of everything. And, you know, and I think that's where getting together with some folks with some time and a sponsor helps interpret how this stuff really works, rather than our, like, obviously addict fucked up interpretation of how this thing really goes down. So you know, I'm in that facility. I don't know if I had used up my rehab trips, but I was homeless, and I really wanted to go to another place, but I couldn't get in a place that required insurance or payment. So I try not to say names of facilities. This was a Christian or a religious-based men's shelter, basically, and they would take me. And I can't help but always tell the story that growing up, my mom and I would be in the car, and we'd drive past this place, and all the guys would be outside smoking. And she'd always be like, if you don't shape up, you're going to end up in that place. And I was the guy outside smoking a cigarette. And but it was like the best place in the world for me at the time. And my mom, like, probably loves and donates to this place now. But, you know, I was in that facility for 6 months and finished that program. But, you know, as a lot of us know, in more of the shelter type facilities, there was definitely people using. There was people working different programs. There was a lot of different approaches to the life that people wanted to live in and coming out of this place. So, you know, I got my first lesson there of, like, all right, there's a few of us who are actually trying to stay clean in Narcotics Anonymous. So let's like stay focused on that and not let what's around me like influence how I'm gonna try to get recovery and stay clean. And you weren't allowed to have a car in this place, and I didn't have one anyway, so we did a lot of walking around town to meetings. You know, burned up a lot of shoes walking to meetings. But then if you go to enough meetings, you start meeting some friends who can pick you up and give you a ride. And you know, after I mean, it doesn't take long. If you're going to meetings almost every day for like a week, people see that, you know, this guy's here. Just you kind of integrate into the program just by presence. A lot of times that's why that like 90 and 90 or at least regular attendance early on is so important. And it's funny, the guy that I was in that outpatient with a couple years before, the guy that the old junkie I couldn't believe that got clean, he was still there. And in Altoona at the time, you know, back 2001-ish, 2 years clean was a lot of time. Thank God people are, you know, are getting a lot more now, but I asked him to sponsor me and started working the steps with him and got in his back pocket. And, you know, every Friday night we would try to go to an out-of-town meeting. And from Altoona, that was like Indiana. So I met the Indiana crew or the Johnstown crew or State College. And then, you know, there was an NA meeting in the shelter I was at. So I made that my home group. And I was, you know, I carried that home group until, you know, I had to move it out of Altoona to go to grad school several years later. So I'm getting at the KISS or the Keep It Simple part of the program. You know, this guy who thought he could think himself into, I guess, first, using successfully but failed. Second, getting clean his own way but failed. You know, ended up finding a way that worked, a way that I didn't create myself, by basically just going to meetings, getting a sponsor, working steps, getting a service position. I was DSR and did some area service through that time and still do. And, you know, struggling but trying to find a higher power of my understanding to follow that part of our suggestions. And I think another simple thing, and you talked about it, is just like being a decent person and having a line with honesty and not crossing it, to not get on that slippery slope of give yourself a little this time, so you know you're, what you accept gets a little further out, a little further out, until you don't know how you got in, you know, doing things that you told yourself you're never going to do again. And, you know, and routine, keep it simple with routine. We try to come to this retreat every year. I mean, 1 year we had the excuse we got married or something like that. So we couldn't come. And I've been off and on the last couple years. But it's good to be back here this year and bring a couple of our friends from Baltimore. Been to several NA events, and this is definitely more my vibe. I'm an outdoors person as well and connect spiritually best here. Also, just don't have to deal with the claustrophobia of a lot of people in a small place. But yeah, you know, in Baltimore, I don't know how many of you have done like big moves in recovery. And that's a big part of my story. After being clean in Altoona for a few years, and thinking I was the shit in NA and Altoona because I had 3 years clean and sponsees and everybody knew my name. Made the decision to move to Harrisburg to go to graduate school, and it was a shock, man. Like, one, I was going to school full time and working half time. I wasn't the dude at the shelter who had nothing to do but walk the meetings. But I had to try to rebuild that foundation again. And it was hard. It really was. I missed my people from up here. But the kiss is the same, right? How do you get integrated with that new group? You go to meetings. You find a new sponsor. You share honestly. You start working some steps in that new spot. And I struggled in that new spot. But I did the ultimate kiss thing by not picking up the first one and not letting that demon back out and not getting jaded about Narcotics Anonymous. I'll say I got a lot of people from Altoona that I got clean with and that I love, and a couple of them are still around, but a pattern I saw over and over again was, you know, somebody ended up having a beef with, you know, one or two people, or they didn't like this clique or group of people. You know, the people in the meetings just weren't like me anymore. So they, you know, walk away from Narcotics Anonymous. I'm trying to say this without judgment. You know, some of those people are still doing good and doing good things, but I saw a lot of people walk away from NA for reasons that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And where am I going with all that? Basically, I never lost the faith that coming in here is the reason I got clean and the reason I'm staying clean. And I'm always going to keep a foot in here. And by doing that, I can help other people do what I did, which is really the highest point of freedom. So yeah, then we moved to Baltimore and went through all that again. Fun fact is Baltimore has the highest density of Narcotics Anonymous meetings of any place in the world. That's awesome, but there's a reason for that. Baltimore is also the overdose capital of this country anyway, maybe the world. So we get to see a lot of good and a lot of bad right in our face there. But I do feel like I found a much more comfortable home in Narcotics Anonymous there. But if I'm being honest, the reason for that is because I tried harder to make that happen than I did in Harrisburg. It was there in Harrisburg. I just didn't get all I could out of it. So yeah, just for today, I'm going to, you know, keep doing all those things that got me clean and kept me clean. And I'm even going to strive to do better, you know, than I'm doing now. Because I do feel like the whole COVID pandemic time kind of put a reset or a slowdown, at least on my step work. I felt like I went into survival mode for a little bit, you know. Got to keep my job, got to keep healthy, got to just like... pause and survive this. And that's a, you know, that part of it's over now, but I still haven't really ramped my step work back up. Part of the problem might be I'm doing the second fourth step too, and it's just that pencil's heavy there, but I did it before and should really do it again and look at the fourth step through the lens of having some clean time in the program. But that's about all I got, and it's great to see you all be out here and enjoy another retreat. So thanks for letting me share. Thank you. I'd like to thank both our speakers.